What's a flat earther? Because I don't think it's necessarily what people are picturing.
Right. When you Google flat Earth, you get that disc floating in space with the water falling off the edge. And that's a psyop. They want you to think, you know, there's so many memes out there. Oh, what are we the only pancake planet out there? You know, and they show you the solar system with a pancake Earth. And that's two fake systems. We're not floating in space. We don't believe in space. The heliocentric model is completely scientifically impossible when you actually look at it.
Welcome to the Too Old for Dish It podcast. I'm your host, Angie Sorensen. Today's episode came together really quickly. I had the chance to chat with Dave, also known as Flat Earth Dave. His team got in touch, and within 2 days, I was interviewing him. With such little time outside of my regular work hours to dive into research, I aim to cover as many areas as possible about his views and beliefs. You'll notice there were moments where I wished I could dig deeper or follow up on some of Dave's more technical statements. Flat Earth theory is a complex and controversial topic, and I think it's crucial to approach it with a critical eye while keeping the door open for discussion. So given the circumstances, I wanted to give you a broad overview in this episode rather than getting too deep into each area. But if there's interest from you, the listeners, and if Dave is up for it, I would love to do a follow-up episode where we can explore more of the theories that he shared. As always, the goal is to stay curious, ask questions, and keep the conversation going. So without further ado, help me give a big, warm welcome to Dave. Let's begin. Welcome to the show, Dave. This came together super, super quickly. Your team reached out just 2 days ago, and here we are recording today. So thank you for being such a pro and so reliable. Thank you so much for joining me. I really appreciate it.
Thanks, Angie. I'm glad to be here.
So I'm really excited about today's topic. I've never broached this on the podcast. So you are known as Flat Earth Dave. And I'll be honest, like I said, I've never explored this on the show because I've always just accepted that the Earth is a globe. I didn't feel the need to question it. But in the back of my mind, I also always knew that science, like anything else, evolves, it's fluid. Whether we're talking about cosmology, planetary science, even medicine, right? What we know can shift. So, and when I think back that, you know, people were burned for heresy, including, you know, the belief that the earth was round because it just went against the Catholic Church. It goes to show how, you know, like obviously the tables have turned now, right? Now you can say, well, I think that I believe the earth is flat or that it's just not a globe. So the other reason too that I want to start bridging this topic is because I'm also, you know, I'm skeptical of the stories that we told about the pyramids. I just don't really buy it. So why not also question other narratives? And I'm not claiming to know the answers or have proof otherwise because I haven't spent the time on it, just like you and other people have. But I think it's important for me to stay open to new ideas. And here's the thing. I believe we can't form real opinions without listening to opposing views. So curiosity, critical eye and a hunger for learning should not be ridiculed, which I think often people do have that stance when they listen to Flat Earther. They just go straight to, you know, just they go down the easy, cheap path of like ridiculing when actually those are very important qualities to have in life. So, Dave, I am really, really looking forward to hearing your perspective. And like I said to you, actually, I think offline, I said, like, I'm actually open. Like I think it's roundish, but I'm open. And there's other things we're going to go into, but you were going to say something?
Oh, I was going to say a million things. Just based on what you said so far, I can do the whole 90 minutes, but I'm going to try to keep things concise. when you say, you know things and the science, you know, science changes. Well, what is science? You know, science is a word, but science means something. Science is the scientific method. And in cosmology, the scientific method is not used at all. Surprisingly, it's literally just pure pseudoscience. So as we talk today, we're going to talk about different. I put things in three baskets. Works only on a flat earth, works on a flat earth and a globe earth, and works only on a globe earth. And you'll find, and I've been doing this for over 10 years, nothing ever goes into basket number three, works only on a globe. It's kind of amazing. And, you know, when you know something, you have to ask yourself, how do I know that, right? We're trusting beings, right? We have to trust. We have to believe. Belief is the lazy man's knowing, because if we don't believe and we have to verify everything, we'll never get anything done. For example, Angie, where do I live?
Yeah.
Where do I live?
Oh, yeah. Connecticut.
Yes, very good. And how do you know that?
Well, you told me, so I don't know that for a fact. I'm just going based on what you told me.
I believe it. Yeah. So you believe it because your brain did a million processes. I told you that. You're like, okay, he's telling me where he lives. He sounds like he's, you know, Connecticut's near New York. He's got a little bit of a New York accent. And why would I lie? And your brain sorted that out as true information. So you have a belief, but you don't have a knowing. Now,
no.
If you wanted to know it, you can probably spend an hour, find me on Facebook, then you find my friends and you look up them, you look at pictures and you check the metadata and you're like, you know what? I think he is in Connecticut. I found a yearbook. He went to high school in Connecticut. Okay. And now you have a close to solid knowing, but that's a lot of effort. If you want to become rich, invent something that makes people lazier. If you want to make dinner, you have to go out. You have to think what you want. You have to go out and shop for the ingredients. You have to come home. You have to prepare. You have to cook. You have to eat it. Then you have to clean up the dishes. What's easier than that? Fast food.
Just go out,
get it, and then throw everything in the garbage. What's easier than that? Do you guys have DoorDash there? I assume you do.
Yeah, we have like Uber Eats. You know, you can just
Uber Eats.
From the restaurant to here. Yeah.
All of these are billion-dollar businesses, right? Mm. Multi-billion-dollar businesses, because it makes people lazier. Now, that's not a bad thing, because we want to find that we're you know, people want to just find the most efficient way to do things. If you drop a pencil on the floor, you're not going to get up, walk around your desk and pick it up. You're going to reach over with your foot. You're going to pull it over and you're going to lean over and you're going to pick it up. Because we look for the easiest way to do things. Belief is the easiest way. If I wrote the book of BS, stands for bullshit, okay, and it's 1,000 pages thick, and I gave it to 100 people, and they all read it, and 10 of, and I tested everybody on it, and we did literally a full test, like a school test, and 10 of them got 100% correct. They get a certificate, a degree in bullshit. Okay, and now they can go teach anyone else the bullshit, and if anybody questions them, they just point to their degree and go, I have a degree. Do you have a degree? Are you certified in bullshit? Okay.
But you know, actually what's interesting about that is that even within the scientific community, if you do come up with a new hypothesis or something new that you'd like to prove and look at, you know, it has happened before and it happens also now that, you know, they can get ridiculed and ostracized from the scientific community, where actually the basis 100%. Of science is to actually have your peers criticize a paper so that you can, to make sure that, you know, any counter argument, counter evidence, you know, that, to make sure that you're not publishing anything stupid, basically, right? They just want, that's part of the methodology, so you have to be open and people are supportive of you.
Correct.
But in practicality, it doesn't even happen all the time. And I've had scientists here as well on the podcast who mentioned about that too, you know, even though they're not necessarily on the alternative side, or, but they have, you know, one of them broke ground quite a bit, escrupulously, within a completely different area. But you know, there have been people who found something new, they were ridiculed their whole life, and then the next scientist came along and then took that idea, proven it again, and now the times were a bit more open to it, and then they got the, you know, they got the prize, the awards, and the recognition. But sometimes, even within the community, it's difficult. So
they say the science is settled, but the science is never settled. You always have to question the science. But the thing is, you know, you can question everything, but questioning the shape of the earth, come on, we all know it's a globe. We were taught that before we had the ability to rationally think. Why was it taught to us while we were babies? Why is it in Sesame Street? Why is it in Disney? Why is the globe being taught to you on your in kindergarten, right? They have globes in the classes. And because once you have, you know, you're taught that at a foundational level, your whole life is based around it. And then all of your favorite movies, you know, I was a big space fan, Star Wars, Star Trek, you know, all of that stuff. It was amazing. But when you try to take that away, I always say, I have a saying, nobody likes their ball taken away. And that's true. We're all big babies and we don't want, you know, our ego is like, no, I can't be wrong my whole life. I want to believe in aliens and extraterrestrials and everything. But that is actually, we'll get into it later, actually works way better on a flat earth. Extraterrestrials on a flat earth, it makes no sense the other way around. So once you start looking into this, there's nobody that becomes a flat earther and then goes back to the globe.
Well, actually, now you mentioned that, I need to ask you, can you just for us who don't know, like who's listening, who don't know, like what's a flat earther? Because I don't think it's necessarily what people are picturing.
Right. When you Google flat earth, you get that disc floating in space with the water falling off the edge. And that's a psyop. They don't want you. They want you to think, you know, there's so many memes out there. Oh, what are we the only pancake planet out there? You know? And they show you the solar system with a pancake Earth. Mm-hmm. And that's two fake systems. We're not floating in space. We don't believe in space. The heliocentric model is completely scientifically impossible when you actually look at it. And so what is the flat Earth? Think about this. The physics science, you know, the science, the physics of water is water, large bodies of water at rest lie flat, right? So if you have a bathtub, it's contained by the sides of the tub. If you remove one side of the tub, the water's gone. Bigger, you go to a pond or a lake. A lake, what contains the lake? The shoreline is higher than the lake all the way around because it's containing the water. And on the early morning when there's no wind and no boats and no anything, the water is measurably flat. There is no curvature, even over great distances. And people are like, well, the earth is so big, you know, we're like a microbe on a basketball. And they would think that the earth is flat. That's not true. With the size they tell us the earth is, there's 6 feet of curvature at just 3 miles. 6 feet. The earth should drop 6 feet at just 3 miles. But when I'm out looking over calm water, I can see the surface of the water a dozen miles away. Right? I shouldn't be able to see the surface of that water beyond 3 miles. It should be behind a physical curve. And the distances we see change every day and throughout the day, depending on the atmosphere conditions. So the horizon, which I call the horizontal eye zone, is just the limit of our vision through the atmosphere.
But I mean, so I understand what you mean with the bathtub, for example, and the lake and so on. But within that globe, each body of water is also sustained by their own shoreline, right? So let's say the Pacific and the other, you know, all the other bodies of water. I'm not going to list them because I can't remember.
They're all connected. It's really one body of water. And we're just saying this area is the Pacific. This area is the South, the Atlantic. Mm. Yeah. They divide the oceans up like that, but it's really all contained by the shoreline. So here's an example of what the earth is. So picture a big lake, right? You ever go out, you go on boats? Are you a boater at all? Right?
No, I'm not, but I know what you mean.
Okay. So if there was a lake that was 100 miles across, that's a really big lake. It would feel like an ocean because when you're 10 miles offshore, you're not even going to see the shoreline, right? You're going to feel like you're in the middle of the ocean, right? Yeah. And at the center of that lake is an island with a small mountain on it. Big, we'll just call it a big giant rock. I'll say it's 1,000 feet high, whatever. And that's a magnetic rock. It's a big neodymium magnet. So while you're on that lake, you hold your compass out and your compass is going to point to the center of that lake because that's where the magnetic force is, right? So if you're 25 miles offshore, which means you're halfway to the center, halfway from the shoreline, you're not going to see either because you can't see anything at 25 miles away that's at ground level. It just gets all compressed into the horizontal eye zone. It's how our eyes work. And so you say, okay. And then throughout that lake, there's islands. We'll call those islands continents. right? So you're on one island, you're next to one island and you're on your boat. You say, I'm going to head east, 90 degrees east. Now, what is 90 degrees east? Well, if you look at a compass, the needle points north and 90 degrees is just at a right angle to that. So point your finger towards the center of that, you know, that big magnet, and you want to head 90 degrees. You point your arm out, you know, to the right, you're making a 90 degree turn, a 90 degree angle. You don't go in a straight line. You have to keep turning to the left to maintain a compass heading of 90 degrees. So if you're 25 miles from the center, you're going to make an equidistant circle around the center, and eventually you're going to come back right to where you started from. That's circumnavigation. You can do the same thing west to maintain a heading of west of 270 degrees on the compass. You have to constantly turn to the right, remaining equidistant from the center, and then you'll end up right back where you came from. Guess what? That goes in basket number two. Works on a globe Earth, works on a flat Earth. On a flat Earth, though, if you went south, now if you and I were at the center of that lake, right? We got the mountains between us, and we both have our backs to the mountain on opposite sides, and we start walking away from each other, we're both heading south, even though we're going in opposite directions, because north is behind us. So south is every direction out. So if North Pole was the center of a bicycle wheel, all of the spokes are pointing south.
Wait, they're all going south. So is that for a globe or flat Earth?
No, for a flat Earth, but it's also true for globe. Think of this: if the Earth is a globe and we went to the North Pole,
any direction we kept on walking, it would go south eventually. Is what you're saying?
Right. Let's say the North Pole was actually a flagpole, and there was four of us there, and we all had our backs to the pole, and we all started walking in opposite directions. We're not walking northeast, west, and south. We're all walking south, and eventually we would all end up at the South Pole together as we walk down the ball. But on a flat Earth, here's the problem. If you walk south, you'll never come back to where you started from. You'll never, like, if you're going one south, which is, you know, and we had our backs to each other and we're walking away, we're not going to meet at the other side. Well, guess what?
Yeah, you're further away from each other.
We're getting further and further and further and further and further for endless. It never comes back. So that's a problem for the globe. It's not a problem for flat Earth, because guess what? Billions with a B of people have circumnavigated east and west. Guess how many people have circumnavigated south?
Not as many people. I don't
Less
know.
Than it's zero.
What would
zero.
Mean? I mean, people have gone from the North Pole to, I mean, some people have gone to the North Pole. Other people have gone to the South Pole.
Right. So, if the North Pole is the center of the lake, where is the South Pole? Well, the truth is there is no South Pole. Right. On a globe Earth, where they tell us where we have a magnetic north and a magnetic south, compasses should be confused on the equator, and anything south of the equator, the compass should point towards the South Pole, and anything north of the equator, the compass should point towards the North Pole. The problem is all compasses point to the North Pole.
Oh, hang on. Is it because both poles are said to be magnetic?
Well, they say both poles are magnetic. I'm going to turn my camera on here for a second just so you can see. So the North Pole would be at the center of this flat Earth map.
Yeah.
And then south would be every direction away from the center. Every direction away. So nobody has gone from Santiago, Chile, across Antarctica and magically shown up in Australia. Nobody has ever done that.
Yeah. Because I mean, I understand what you mean by both poles because it's a quick turnaround, so I didn't have super much time to obviously to research, but even if I did, it's just not my expertise, so I'm just gonna stumble a little bit and need your help here. But are both poles in the globe Earth, are we being told that the both sides are magnetic?
So in the globe Earth, they tell us we have a magnetic core and we have a North Pole and a South Pole, which are both magnetic.
Right. So this is what you said about the compass. That actually should be pointing, if when we do a true North compass, it should actually...
Well, a compass should point to the South Pole. Here's the problem. When you get to the outer south, which is the shoreline of the lake, it's so far from the center of the lake that the compass doesn't know where to point. The magnetic force isn't strong enough. And in Antarctica, compasses do not work. They don't point anywhere.
And how do you know that?
Because we have people in Antarctica that try to use a compass and it doesn't work.
Can I ask you how? So is the shape? So what is so? So is this sort of like it? So do you so? So when you say a flat Earth, do you actually mean it's actually like a round, like a disc with something below it? Like how? What is the actual shape? Like, could you describe it to me?
So we'll go back to the lake. We have a lake 100 miles across, right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So you're on the lake. We went east and west, and we came right back to where we started from. We went north. And if you go north, that would bring you towards the center of the lake. And if you keep going in a straight line, as soon as you pass the center of the lake, you're heading south because your back is to the north, right? And so if you keep heading south in any direction, you're going to hit the edge of the lake. What happens when you get to the edge of a lake? Do you fall off into space or do you step up onto the land? You step up onto the land. The edge of our known world, the place that we are allowed, that we're not even allowed to explore, is Antarctica, right? So Antarctica, check this out.
So, just to make sure I understood, basically like the lake with all the islands that you described, like the different continents, but actually on the outside of this lake, there is ground, and that ground is Antarctica. It's actually a circle around the lake. It circles the lake. Is that what you say? You're on mute.
Sorry about that. Antarctica is the shoreline of our world pond.
Got it.
Right?
Got it. So,
So if you take a, imagine, I'll use this term. People say, what are you, a pizza world? Imagine a pizza, okay?
Yeah.
Where the sauce is the oceans. And the sauce and the cheese is the oceans. The crust is Antarctica. Now, extend that crust out infinitely. So now you have infinite crust beyond the sauce, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So if you cut out the pizza, just leaving a normal pizza with just a little bit of crust, and you wrapped it around a basketball and crunched all that crust down to the bottom, that's going to create just a mass of crust. And we'll call that Antarctica, right? That's what they told us is going on. They have us believing that the Antarctica is a Antarctica is a continent at the bottom of a ball. So they took it, they wrapped it around a ball, and then all of that crust gets crunched up down there. And guess what? Antarctica is not allowed to be independently explored. All the countries in the world agree on two things: that you cannot independently explore Antarctica with all of the fighting over all of the resources and all everything else. Every country in the world agrees nobody can independently explore Antarctica. And that everybody has to get the jab in the arm. They all agree on those two things. Kind of weird. Kind of sounds like they're trying to control the people.
And would you say that maybe it's to do also with safety, like in terms of going to Antarctica? Because it's supposed to be what, like a bit like the North Pole, right? It's supposed to just be like icebergs? I don't know. Like, I'm going to sound super ignorant here, but
it's okay. You know? they want you to, they don't want you to know what's beyond the shoreline of Antarctica. So let's go back. We're on our boat. We sail to the edge of the lake and we climb up. Oh, by the way, if you look at the average elevation of all of the continents in the world, Antarctica is over twice the height of all the other continents. That makes sense. It's the shoreline of our world pond. It's the shoreline of our world pond. So the question is, when you get to the edge of Antarctica, and you climb up onto the land, what's out in the outer space?
Mm.
What's in the outer space?
Like on the other side of the Antarctica.
Well, what's beyond the shoreline? You know, you've heard of the Antarctic ice wall, and they pushed that in Game of Thrones, the ice wall, right?
No, I haven't heard of it until I came across like you and research over the last 2 days, and I heard about that wall, but I haven't. Let me just put ice wall. I'm literally typing this in.
Yeah. So to type in Antarctic ice wall, you will see tons and tons and tons of information.
Yeah. 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 It's a big wall.
Yeah. And it goes all, well, we don't know if it goes all the way around because we're not allowed to independently explore. So the question is, you climb up onto that wall. So now we're on a smaller scale model of the Earth, 100 miles across is all of the world's oceans, right? And now you're walking, you're a mile away from the beach, from the shoreline. And you look back, you can't even see it, right? And you keep walking. Let's say you go a couple more miles. Now, again, when I say a couple more miles, we're saying the entire span of the Earth is 100 miles because we have our small model of the Earth. What happens if you come to another lake? What does that mean? Is that another world? Mm-hmm. What if we live on an extended plane, plane, and there's multiple ponds that occupy a piece of the plane or a planet, if you will?
Yeah.
The word plane and add a T, planet,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So if there are other ponds out there,
that would be going to go to. I think you know
extra.
Where you're
what if there was? What if there was extra land out there? Mm. There was a map that was found in a Buddhist temple, 10 centuries old, published in 1910 in Hawaiian magazine in the Hawaiian newspaper, and it showed all these other continents outside beyond Antarctica on a flat Earth, right? What is going on there?
Well, can I ask you, how about the images we see from space and all these astronauts that are going up to space? Because I can understand how, I can see how, let's say if it was one company only allowed to go up in space and film what they saw, like, you know, when they turn around and look at Earth, I could see how, you know, that would be a lot easier to control the narrative. But there are so many different space programs from different countries and including private programs, you know, private companies going up there. Are you saying that they're all sending false images? Are you saying that they're all lying? Are they all, like, how can they all be in on it? Or are they really in on it? Like, how do you explain that?
Have you looked at any of the, like, the Indians when they landed on the moon last year? Did you take a look at any of that?
Oh, I heard about it, but no, I didn't know. Let me just, Indians.
You know the cartoon South Park?
Yes. I haven't watched it in a long time, but I know they always predict the future. Okay.
Well, no, that's not it. Their graphics were better than India's moon graphics. And the question is, could they all be in on it? Well, the way they control the Earth is they control the people of the Earth is divide and conquer. Divide by countries, divide by states, divide by political parties, by religion, sex, by gender. Divide. They're all in it together. NASA is the top agency, and they dictate everything. So it's basically space is a franchise on how to rob the people of their tax money, right? Nobody is ever on a rocket. And all of the images of Earth, NASA will never use the word photo of Earth. They'll only use the word image and picture. They'll never say photo because they don't want to lie. And when you look at a picture of the Earth and compare it to what you know is reality, you'll look and you'll see, like, the picture from 2012, I think it is, shows the United States covering about half of the Earth, right? But if you look at it and compare it on a map, the rest of the world has to be on the other side of that ball. It doesn't make any sense. You can tell it's a painting, right? You can tell it's a painting. And they admit that they make these images in Photoshop. The image that was on everybody's iPhone when the first iPhone came out is called the Blue Marble. And they basically, the guy, Robert Simon is his name, that said when he made the Blue Marble, he made it from data he was given and he made it in Photoshop. He said it's made in Photoshop because it has to be. And he made it for what people expect the Earth to look like. And when you compare photos of Earth from all the different agencies and NASA, none of them look right. None of them look right. On my app, the Flat Earth Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app, you can find it at my website, flatearthdave.com. If you type in Earth photos of Earth, there's 9 photos of Earth. And then you look at them. These are all official NASA photos. And you have to have no other choice but saying at least 8 of them are fake, if not all 9.
I mean, it's hard to for me, it's hard to know, like, looking, like, if I was to look now and to know, because I just don't have the eye, I would need a bit of time, because I see just like a lot of blue, you know, like, obviously, because the globe has got so much water, yeah. What we're being shown, well, anyway. So, you know, like, it's, I would need time to go in and have a look.
No, I know. Here's the thing. It's easy to believe what you're told. To find the truth, it takes time. I've been doing this 24/7, 23 hours a day for 10 years, more than 10 years, for 15 years now. And you learn new stuff every day. The picture, the blue marble I was telling you that was on everyone's iPhone, if you look, the clouds are stepped and repeated. It's over. They're making this in Photoshop. In one of the images that they gave us, they left the Photoshop hand, the little hand, the grabber hand was still in the photo. They literally left the Photoshop hand in there. And whether they're stupid, was an accident, or it's revelation of the method, I couldn't tell you. But they're always telling us the truth.
Can I ask you, like, yes, if, you know, if it is all a lie, like, and it's all a purposeful,
why the
they're
lie?
Doing it all up, let's say if it's like, you know, let's say if I was to like jump on your side and be like, yes, it's all a lie, the earth is not a globe.
Why would they lie?
It's like, what is the, why is the purpose of that? But two, also, why? Like, why does it matter?
Well, let me ask you this. This is a horrible, bloody example, but let's say you walk into a room and there's 20 dead people. They're all dead everywhere. Okay?
Yeah.
Do you go, I don't believe it. I need to know why somebody would do this. Or do you say, there's 20 dead people. Let's figure out why they did it. Right? There's so much evidence that the earth is flat, that they're faking space, that the pictures are fake. No one is ever on a rocket. All of this has been proven 1,000 times over. So the question is, why the lie? I can speculate, and I'm pretty sure it's the answer, but it doesn't matter whether I'm right or wrong on that. The evidence is overwhelming. So why would they lie? And the answer is, they're hiding God. They don't want people to know that they live in a created world and there is no other option, right? In the heliocentric model, the official story made up by a Jesuit priest is once upon a time, there was nothing. And then it exploded and became everything. And it started expanding through space and galaxies and planets and gas balls in a space vacuum, which is impossible. Gas, you know, formed, right? Gas violently fills the available space. It doesn't collapse and make suns and stars, right? And then lightning struck and an amoeba was born, and the amoeba turned into a fish. That fish grew some legs, climbed out of the water, found another sexy fish, had a monkey, and that monkey had a deformed baby that became a human. That's the official story.
The evolution of the human species is actually very misconstrued. As if you were to go down the evolutionary path, I had Escovillus, who's like huge on this, and he was on the podcast. And basically I asked him that question. I said, I just don't understand why we would come down from chimpanzees, that lineage. If that was true, then we wouldn't have any more chimpanzees, gorillas, right, and so on. And he said, it's not that we come from them. Like that science behind it, it's not that we come from them, it's that we are sort of like related, you know, like we share DNA, with a lot of other animals, but basically we have a common ancestor. That's the scientific line.
So
but the drawing that has been gone worldwide, you know, the one where you start like a monkey and then it goes up into standing upright human, that is actually an erroneous interpretation, and it was kind of like a cartoon somewhere, like in the paper, and it got taken seriously by the masses. But actually, that is not what the Darwin's theory is.
Darwin's theory is that we keep mutating and starting new lines of new species, but never once in history has any species turned into another species. There's no giraffes with shorter necks that evolved to have longer necks to reach higher fruit or whatever. There's no interspecies species skeletons anywhere. And the Lucy one they found, which is the missing link, was later proven to be fake. But they don't advertise that, but they still teach it in school, even though it was peer-reviewed fake.
I mean, so, this is not to be combative on this point, because I do want to like go over some of the other things, but there is actually, like you can see in the animal kingdom, especially like in insects, they do actually evolve to adapt.
There's micro-adaptation, right? Mm. Which is, you know, men like women with longer fingers, so they mate with more women with longer fingers, and then now people have longer fingers. But no time does a human turn into another species, right? And they're hiding our history. But let me finish the point I was making. So, that the official heliocentric model is evolution, you know, Big Bang, it just comes together and magically, and then space is expanding into more space at 1 billion miles a minute or whatever the stupid number they come up with, right? Which is just all mumbo jumbo nonsense, unproven theory. And in that theory, you can say, wow, that's random, or God did it. So now you have a choice of God. But when you discover that the earth is intelligently designed, there is no Big Bang. There's just intelligent design, which means there is a creator, right? I found the fact, I was in the religion of atheism, because it's really a crazy belief system, until I discovered that the earth was intelligently designed. And then I had no choice but to accept that there is a creator.
But it could also be, so I do also think that, everything on the earth is really, it's like there's no word to describe. It's extremely intelligent. I mean, even just our own immune system, when you look at how it works, it's just insane. It's like, it feels like alien technology. Like, it's like extremely intelligent, how the body knows how to do, and how even just how nature just lives in symbiosis when we leave it alone. There's a lot of things to be said about how magnificent and how divine everything is, but I think maybe there's also room for both. So what we, because I think in our human mind we cannot conceive of those really massive timelines. So what, maybe it's all about, there's also interpretation in there, right? But so let's say if you say like God created the earth in 7 days, it may have felt like 7 days to God, but for us it would feel like a million years, right? So there's time. Time is concept of time is a whole topic on its own. But
well, there's a thing called the great unconformity, where in our evolution timeline that they teach us in schools, there's like millions of years missing, or maybe it's a billion years. It's just missing. And they say, well, these fossils are 100 million years old, dinosaurs, right? But that's not true. The carbon dating is a false science. It's a pseudoscience. Some researchers found some what they said were dinosaur bones. They gave it to these carbon dating lab, but didn't tell them what it was. And they said, oh, it's just 10,000 years old. And they're like, well, this is from a dinosaur skeleton. And then they're like, oh, well, you should have told us that. And they reset the dial, like, oh, that's 10 million years old or 100 million years old. It's all pseudoscience nonsense. Dinosaurs, I don't know if you're aware, are not real. There were giant animals, giant people, but there weren't dinosaurs. All the dinosaurs that they teach us in school are fake. They're made from, oh, we found a tooth. We found a collarbone. We found, whatever. No head has ever been found. And in all of the megalithic structures from the past, no dinosaur was ever found. In the 1800s, a royal guy in the UK, I believe, wrote a paper theorizing about dinosaurs and published it, got it republished. And a year later to the day, he and his team discovered the first dinosaur. They need dinosaurs to hide the truth of dragons and giant people, because bones were being found and they couldn't say, oh, well, this is that. They had to come up with dinosaurs to hide evolution.
So you believe like in dragons and the giant people?
Well, let me ask you a question. It's not about a belief. It's about looking at the evidence. First, the Chinese calendar, the zodiac, has 13 animals on it. 12 fake, 12 real and one fake doesn't make any sense. If you look at, have you ever looked into the old world, into the Tarian Empire?
No, but I've looked at giant people, and I'm not actually saying that it's not true. I'm actually like because this is the second time I've subscribed to Gaia. You know Gaia?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. The first time I had to stop because I was literally my mind was imploding. Like I was like,
I'm
what's
gonna
real?
Implode your mind worse. I'm gonna give you something.
But it's not that this is why I think, right? Is that there is so I believe space is real. I don't know what the shape of the earth is. I haven't been outside and looked at it myself, if that makes sense. I haven't gone to space, so I sort of
let's
go
take
within
one
that.
Thing at a time. One thing at a time. Let's
but with the giant people.
We're gonna stick with giant people and then we're gonna go into your comment that space is real. So, just hang on. Mm-hmm. You wanna make a point first? Go ahead.
Yeah, so the giant people, like I think there's a lot that we don't know within the earth and especially in our oceans and our waters, right? Because we have this whole map of space, but we don't really know even the bottom of our own oceans, apparently. You know, there's a lot of unexplored territory on this earth. So since we don't know so much about it, a lot is unexplored, why wouldn't there be giant animals? Why wouldn't there be caves underneath that we don't know about with other civilization? I don't know. Like I'm just saying, like I wouldn't necessarily be shocked is what I'm saying. Like I feel sure. There's so much we don't know.
Angie, let me just throw in a quick little plug here. Anyone that thinks I'm crazy, I offer 3 Bitcoins, which is Bitcoins over $90,000 each right now, for 1 globe proof. Okay.
Wow.
You just gotta go. Yeah. If you get my app, you watch the daily video every day for 2 weeks. At the end of that 2 weeks, if you can come up with 1 globe proof, check the FAQ questions first to make sure it hasn't been debunked. Send it to me. You win 3 Bitcoins. Pretty easy. But the problem is the earth is flat. So don't count your money yet. There's 2 rock walls here, in one in Montana and one in Texas. These gigantic megalithic rock walls that were discovered not that long ago. And they're trying to say, oh, they're natural formations. They're literally like Chichen Itza. They're like these Egyptian walls and stuff. And along the walls, they keep finding bones of giant bones. And they found a giant human. They found several giant humans over 65 feet tall. And the Smithsonian came and took them away. And they're never seen again. This is the Smithsonian constantly comes and takes bones to say, oh, we're going to check them out. And then they disappear and you never see them again because they're hiding the fact, because giant humans hide the truth of this world. And they literally debunk the globe. So
how do you spell Smithsonian? I don't know that term.
Smithsonian Institute.
Smithsonian.
Mm-hmm. They're like the government scientific wing, but they're here to hide the truth.
I just found online, is it the one that says the world's largest museum education research complex? Mm-hmm. Is it that one you mean?
That's it. It's okay, the world's okay. The highest gatekeeping, organization.
Mm-mm.
So on my website, flatearthdave.com, there's a banner that says Old World Order. I want you to go there, and that's an intro to what the old world is. And then after you watch that 90-minute video, which is fantastic, watch it, kick back, watch it on the big screen. Don't watch it on your phone. Watch it, get some popcorn, whatever you got to do. Get comfortable, put your feet up. Watch that video. It's going to blow your mind. And then after that, there's a channel. It's on every platform, including YouTube, Rumble, everything else, called My Lunch Break. Just My Lunch Break. It's that easy. He's got 100 episodes out right now. He puts out one episode a week now, and it will blow your mind. He's not making any claims other than showing you the official story and showing you how ridiculous it is. And then he will prove to you in a very short period of time that we are not at the pinnacle of society right now. We are literally in the middle of the movie Idiocracy, and that there was an advanced civilization here just 100 or 200 years ago, right? The Wild West here in America is a lie. The cities were here before that, right? You have cities, you have buildings in your city, everyone listening, that were built long before your city was founded. Okay. So everything you know about history is a lie. Every single thing. But the thing is, don't believe anything I'm telling you. You need to do the work and take the time to see the evidence. Yeah. And the evidence is all laid out for you. My app, the Flat Earth Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app, you can find it at flatearthdave.com. It has an old world section in it. And if you click the old world button, it'll blow your mind. It's got a picture of a griffin, and you click that, and up come all the great stuff. But my lunch break, awesome. There's another guy called I'm the Improbable Dreamer on TikTok, and I know he's on Instagram. Mind blowing stuff, right? Once you see this stuff, you can't unsee it, and then the rabbit hole just gets deeper.
Yeah, no, I bet. I mean, it's. I mean, I can also see why it's not for everyone, right? Because I think, from my experience, when I listen to things, or like even like for example with Gaia, sometimes because I sort of like I process it and I can literally feel it down to my cellular level. Like it's like a lot to take in, like because I am really like there's a part of me that's super open to it. And the other part is like, what does it mean if all of this is, true or not true? And
what it means is that we are at the center of creation, that we have great power. This is what the elite don't want you to know. They don't want you to know that they have no power over you and that you do not need to stand under them. Okay.
I mean, that I agree with you. Even without the flat earth, like even if we take all of that conversation, the way that we talk about today, that I truly believe, like for sure. I think like we are completely like, and me included, under this influence, and now it's even worse because we have all these screens, the social media, and like everything that they show you, I feel it's just them telling you what you need to talk about and think about. Because then you go to work, what do we talk about? What we saw on the screen, on the TV, on the movie.
It's this big
hypnotic situation, I find. But I'm in it too, right? I mean, I'm also watching Netflix. I'm also watching Apple TV. And the thing is, it's like this hypnosis, and it's like, it's keeping us away. It's keeping them out of trouble, I feel.
People think, listen, Gaia has interesting stuff on it, but it's also very controlled. Gaia has a lot of alien stuff on it and extraterrestrials from outer space. And they're pushing that now here in America. Like, oh my God, they're basically doing disclosure saying that aliens are coming from the ocean. Well, that would not make them aliens if they're coming from the ocean, but they're literally getting everybody used to the fact that there are other civilizations, but they're here on Earth. Think about this. The closest star to our solar system is 4.5 light years away. Now, that's the distance light travels in 4.5 years, which is 25 trillion miles. Just stick with me for a second. We're going to do a little bit of very easy math, and I'm going to show you how big a trillion is, right? So how long do you think 1 trillion seconds is? Take a guess.
Just a trillion of a second.
One trillion seconds. How long is 1 trillion seconds? If you guess,
I have
no idea.
Oh gosh.
If you guess it within a week, I'll give you a Bitcoin. Take a guess.
Okay, a trillion seconds. How long? Okay, for a Bitcoin, let me do a guess.
Real quick.
A trillion seconds. It'll be 10 years.
Very close. 31,000 years. Okay.
Here goes my Bitcoin. Here goes my pension.
But listen to this.
Yeah.
31,000 years. Mm. In my opinion, the Earth hasn't even been around 1 trillion seconds. Okay. That's how big 1 trillion is. Now, the closest star is 25 trillion miles away. If you and I got into a rocket ship that's going faster than any rocket ship has ever gone, we'll say a mile per second, right? No one's ever gone that fast. And we traveled for 31,000 years. We are 1/25th of the way to the closest star. We got to do that 24 more times, right? That your mind just short circuits. That number doesn't make any sense. But what if I'm good friends with Elon and he says, hey, you know what? I got a rocket for you, Dave. It goes 100,000 miles an hour. It's only going to take us 28,000 years to get there. Another crazy number, right? And then when we get there, we find out, oh, the planets going around this star have no life. We got to go to the next star, which is 100 times farther. Okay? So that is infinite space. You're diluting creation. If I had a glass of milk and I poured it into a bathtub, I've diluted it. But if I poured it into a pool, I'd barely notice it. If I poured it into the ocean, it's gone. How do you dilute something? You pour it into something bigger. How do you dilute God? You pour it into infinite space. Space is expanding a billion miles a second or a minute or whatever the number is into what? More space? They're making stuff up, laughing at you, tiring out your mind, making you give up your God-given common sense and deferring to people with pocket protectors wearing a white lab coat that are actors, that are comedians, okay? They're literally making you give up your divineness for pseudoscience nonsense, to make you believe that you're insignificant, make you believe if you breathe on grandma, she's going to die. They can make you believe anything if you believe you live on a globe. And if you live on a globe, that's their ball field. You got to play by their ball rules. But you're born into God's world, natural law, right? And the government can't admit that because then all of the laws they make would have to abide by natural law. So they commoditize you by giving you a birth certificate. They trade you on the stock market. They put you on a ball. They give you fake fiat money and they control you, right? Mm-hmm. So that's how they control the world. So this, you asked before, why they do this? It's all about control, right? If you believe you live on a ball, you are lost in space. You are insignificant and you're afraid of everything. An asteroid's going to hit. We're running out of fossil fuels. Nonsense. We're running out of space. We're overpopulated. Nuclear bombs are going to blow us up. All of that is fake.
So can I ask you, like, what do you think we're looking at? For you, like, if it's not the space that they're telling us, do you think there's absolutely not even like space, even if it was like a lot smaller than what they're saying?
No. So you can't have high pressure, our air, our atmosphere, adjacent to no pressure without a physical barrier, right? I don't believe space. I believe space is water. Okay. But you can't have high pressure next to no pressure without a physical barrier. When you open up a soda can, it instantly equalizes pressure. If I had a can filled with air and I was in a room that had no air, I poke a hole anywhere in that can, it's instantly going to violently fill the available space. Except on Earth, somehow gravity can hold down the air from the Tor 17 vacuum of space, which we can't even create here on Earth because it's too powerful. But I can drink with a straw, pulling water and air up and away from gravity with the weak, low-pressure system of my mouth and lungs, right? None of this makes any sense at all. We can prove that gravity can't hold down air, right? So what is this place? Well, here's the thing. We send up balloons. You can only send a balloon up to maybe 120,000 feet, give or take. And we had on this one balloon, we did at nighttime. And we had the cameras pointing up to look at the stars. And it was a beautiful starry night. And before the balloon even launched, you could see all the stars. Now, what's going to happen as that balloon gets higher and higher? Well, it's going to get above more and more of the atmosphere. And those stars should get brighter and brighter. It should get more clear and more clear, right? But what happened is at 50, 60, 70, 80,000 feet, all of the stars disappeared.
So there was a camera on the balloon to film that?
Four cameras. Okay. All of the stars disappeared. Now, ask me, how did that happen? I can come up with a whole bunch of theories. I can't prove any of them. But if the heliocentric globe model outer space is the real model, then those stars should never have disappeared. When I flew from California to Australia in the middle of the night, in the middle of the ocean, I looked out. I could see like three lights in the sky. There was no stars. What is going on? So what are stars?
Wait, let me just absorb that one for a second. Because, okay, this is interesting because Because you know, like when you go camping in the middle of nowhere and you come out of your tent in the middle of the night, the stars, if it's
Beautiful.
a clear night, it's like
Amazing.
right in your face. Like
Right there.
they feel right there. Yeah, exactly.
You
It's
know why
actually
they
quite,
look like, no, you know why they feel like they're right there? Because
it's
they
quite
are
shocking.
right there. They're right there.
But when I, it's true, because when I've flown at night, I'm pretty sure,
Nothing.
I have flown at nighttime. It's true. I don't remember seeing stars. But then again, I don't remember. I need to. I'm
Yeah.
gonna have to fly at night again, and
Yeah.
I'm gonna remember what you said, and I'm gonna go,
Not gonna
I'm gonna
see.
be like, where are
You're gonna
they?
see some. You're gonna see some, but very few. So I think, you know, when we that's a much longer, deeper visual conversation that all of the lights in the sky, the luminaries, the sun, moon, and stars are in optical positions. They're not physical objects we're seeing. We're seeing them kind of projected, for lack of a better word, into our azimuthal grid of vision, right? Again, this is stuff that you really have to use your brain. They've made our brains atrophied. We entertainment, all these movies. Entertain is, you know, tain is to control, ment is the mind. So they're literally entering to control our mind with nonsense, with absolute nonsense. Now, don't get me wrong, there's good documentaries out there with good information in it. There's good information that we provide, but all of this is being censored by YouTube. That's why on my app, Planet, Sun, Moon, and Zodiac Clock app, the daily videos, all of the frequently asked questions, all of the stuff, none of those videos will ever show up in your Google searches, even if you search for them by name. Now, what does that tell you? The government is not here for your well-being, is not here for your knowledge. The Rockefellers, who control the education system here in America, I think across the world, they said they don't want a world of thinkers. They want a world of workers. So they literally train you in college. You know, college is a whole nother scam also, to be good corporate slaves. They teach you accounting and geometry and algebra. These are corporate slave maths. Have they did you take your course in vortex mathematics or sacred geometry? Probably not. You might have never even heard of that. That's the real math, and they hide that from us, all of us.
I mean, yeah, I think, yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying about the like corporate slaves. I mean, I have a day job in corporate, and oh, I feel it. It's heavy. But and I don't really want to be there. But actually, because you mentioned the moon, can you? I heard you, and I didn't want to hear the whole things. I wanted to hear from you here. You mentioned something that I never thought about, or that I don't remember thinking about anyway. Can you explain how the moon is shining so brightly when it's supposed to be a rock?
Because it's a light. It's not a rock, right? So there's a thing called the inverse square law of light. This is a scientific fact. Every time you double the distance to a light, it's one quarter of the brightness. Or every time you half the distance to a light, it's four times brighter. Okay. And this is provable science. So when we look out, we go out in the middle of nowhere at full moon, no clouds. The moon's so bright, you can read a book by it. It casts your shadow on the ground, right? So if you went halfway to the moon, it would be four times brighter. And if you went halfway again, 16 times brighter. And you kept doing that until you were 100 miles from the moon, it would be 60,000 times brighter than we see it on Earth, which is far brighter than the sun. Okay. So that's how bright it would have to be for us to see it. Have you ever looked up and seen Jupiter in the sky?
No. I mean, I've
Well,
seen it on pictures, but I
so
haven't
if you
yet.
go out at night and get, but there's free star, you know, Planet Finder apps and look it up. Basically, it's a star. It looks like a star, but it's the brightest star in the sky, and it's hard to miss. It's actually, it should be in the sky tonight. You know, it's in the sky a lot, but you see it. It literally looks like a piece of the sun. It's bright. It's, you know, all the stars are bright, but this is the brightest, biggest thing you'll see in the sky. Actually, Venus is a little bit brighter, but Jupiter, they tell us, is a gassy planet 400 million miles away from the sun, right? We're just under 100 million miles away. Now, they tell us the sun is 186,000 miles across. So if the sun was a mile over your head, it would just fill the entire sky. You're on a BB, and the sun is a yoga ball a millimeter above the BB. Okay. You look up, all you see is sun. Move it 93 million miles away. The sun is the size that we see it, the size of holding a coin at arm's length. That's the size of the sun. If you doubled the distance to that sun, it'll be a quarter of the size. That's 200 million miles. If you doubled it again to 400 million miles, it would be almost the size of a star. It would be tiny. Okay. You know, double it. It's like the size of a pencil eraser. Double it again. It's a quarter of that size. Right. So if you are on Jupiter looking at the sun would be a tiny star. And that you have to believe that that tiny star, that distant sun, is lighting up the non-reflective clouds of Jupiter, because gas absorbs light. It doesn't reflect light. And then it's reflecting back, traveling 400 million miles to Earth. And we see it as bright as we see it.
Yeah, I mean, the sun is very bright. I mean, you can't even look at it.
Yeah, but that's we're talking about the sun reflecting off of a gassy planet and then traveling all these distances, and we see it as bright as we can see it. Go outside when if you see one of those big cement balls, you know, those cement things in front of, you know, sometimes they're in front of town parks or whatever. So you look at a big shiny cement ball on a sunny day, that should be radiating light and blinding you, because it's more reflective than the dusty, dirty moon, and you're right next to it.
Yeah.
Right? Why isn't it blinding you? So the thing is, people just don't want to think these things through. Everyone says, Dave, what's your best proof that the heliocentric model is wrong? And I say every single one of them, if you take the time and think. Every single one. We see too far. Water at rest lies flat. The Earth is 70% ocean. The oceans don't curve. Right? Where's the curvature? Right? You can't have high pressure next to low pressure. Right? We have microwave transmissions going 800 miles or even farther, where there would be like 80 miles of curvature. But these are line of sight. We have the Navy ships that have a rail gun that can hit a target over 100 miles away. There should be a mile of water hump between them. There should be a mountain of water over a mile high. There's submarines on the bottom of the abyssal plain that can use their sonar and see another submarine on the bottom over 100 miles away. There should be a hump of earth in between them over a mile high, 6,600 feet high, right? But it doesn't. So you have to believe that that sonar is climbing that mountain, then climbing down the other side of the mountain, hitting the submarine, and then coming back, climbing the mountain, and going down the mountain and going to the sonar reflector and saying, oh, yeah, we see it. So that doesn't work that way. It would just see the mountain.
Yeah.
Okay?
I mean, some of it is like there's a lot of math. I love math, but like it's quite advanced. But I'm listening to
it's
you.
It's not advanced. It's so simple.
Probably like if I see it in like on paper, but like I could listen to you for hours. I'm just like, just this thing is like, so you're very compelling to me, you know? So it's
they
like,
don't teach us. They don't teach us the law of big numbers. Do you know about cryptocurrency at all? A little bit?
Yeah, I do a bit, but not much, but I mean, I do have some.
So when you have a wallet address is a combination of numbers and letters, a whole bunch of numbers and letters. And the number, it's such a long code that it's a huge number. I couldn't even tell you what that number is. And then every wallet has a key, which is 24 random words. Okay. Mm-hmm. So do you know how they pick these wallet addresses? They randomly pick them. Anytime you want to create a wallet, it randomly picks them. And you would say, well, wouldn't they eventually pick the same number? Like what if the computer that's making up a wallet address picked the same thing as someone else had? Well, here's the odds of that happening. If you had every supercomputer in the world working on finding a used address, it would take like 60 sextillion years. Sextillion is a number you can't even comprehend because that's how big the number is. It was like, hey, I've got a grain of sand, one grain of sand. I'm going to hide it somewhere on Earth, and I'm not going to tell you. Go find it. Okay? Mm-hmm. The odds of finding that grain of sand are greater than finding a repeating Bitcoin address. All right. So they don't teach you the law of large numbers, but they dilute your mind with infinite expanding space. Stars are so far away, even though we're moving 4.5 billion miles a year, corkscrewing through space, never returning to where we were before, none of the stars ever change places. You know, when you're driving down the road, everything in the distance changes its relation. Like the trees move, you know, everything changes its orientation. It's called parallax. Mm. There's no parallax in space. Never once in history has two stars changed places.
I mean, there's an interesting argument about, you know, the speed that we're flying. You know, that it basically is, I can't explain it because I've only just heard about it not long ago. I think it's Mark Gober? Let me check. Yeah, Mark Gober.
I just did an interview with him.
Oh, did you? Well, okay, yeah, because he talks about how it just doesn't make sense that we're going this fast. There's many variants, right? And I would let him explain. I can't explain it as well as he did. But as you know, like there's a lot of variables in this speed and how fast we're going and the direction and all of that. And somehow we're not feeling a single bump. But if you're on a plane and there's a turbulence, we feel that. But obviously he makes a much better compelling argument for it than I could ever do, because obviously that's his, you know, he's researched it. But right. There's a lot of things like that you go, yeah, actually, it doesn't make sense.
I'm actually in his book, The Upside Down Cosmos.
Yeah, okay, well, that's interesting. Yeah, but yeah, I want to ask you, what do you think is Earth all in a container of water, or does it sit on something partly? Well,
the Bible says that God separated the waters from the waters and created the firmament. That looks to be the truth. And it says it's resting upon the pillars.
So what does that mean? Because I don't know what firmament is.
Firmament would be the dome above us. And that God created this bubble. And the way I look at it is that when you're boiling some, when you're heating up some water, if you look into the pan, just as it's starting to boil, you'll see a bubble stuck to the bottom of the pan. Imagine yourself as a little tiny person inside that bubble standing on the pan. The firmament is the bubble above you. And then the water is space.
Do you know what I keep thinking about, like when I have these conversations like this? I keep thinking of, do you know Silo, the show Silo? Have you heard of it?
Yeah, I think so.
It's based on three books. I haven't read the book, so I don't know how it turns out. I've got a feeling I'm not going to be happy of how it turns out. But I like the first season. It's basically the idea of all these people in a silo underground. They don't know why they're there. They don't know what's outside. You know, it's this whole thing about, they don't even know what the stars are that they're looking at through the there's like a screen that shows the outside. But of course, what I'm concerned about, I mean, I love that show, by the way, it's incredible. But what I'm concerned about is this parts, like when the end of season one, the main character goes outside and she's in this like space suit because they say it's toxins outside. But what she thought was going to be lush and green, turns out it's not. It's actually what they showed on the screen. So I feel like there's like a double control behind this, like the narrative. I'm like, no, I wanted her to be right. But I'm going to watch season two, see how it turns out. And maybe I'll read the books. But I wanted to, because the show is so good, I want to see it on the show. But that's what it makes me think of, is like,
yeah, it resonates with you because it has some truth in it. You know, truth in the movies, lies in the news. The news is here to steer your mind, north, east, west, south, news, right? And it's literally all fake, all of it. It's all fake.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't watched the news in years. I mean, I get the news on my social media feed, and that's why I get it from. But I don't. I take it all with a pinch of salt. And I mean, don't get me started on the 2020 scenario. But it's things like this. That's why I love sci-fi, because I feel like a lot of it has some certain things like really resonate true. And some of those writers are like super, super smart. I don't know how they thought about certain things, I don't know. Yeah.
So I want to just, for the people listening right now, if this is new information to you, it's resonating with you, go to my website, flatearthdave.com. Check out the videos there. Check out the app if you want to have quick access to stuff. The app is $3. But if you don't want to get the app, scroll down to where it says Crash Course. And then there's a list of videos there that YouTube will never show you. Start watching them. Turn off Netflix for a couple of weeks. Watch those videos. I guarantee you can't get through three of those videos without becoming a true earther or a flat earther. Okay. I guarantee it's scientifically impossible. The only way to remain a globe earther is by ignorance. Okay. And ignorance is not a bad word. I'm ignorant to everything I don't know. You're ignorant to everything you don't know. Everyone is ignorant to lots of things. But when you see it, when you actually take the time and look and think and use your God-given common sense, then you can rule out the globe. Just remember, falsification is independent of replacement. If I said, hey, every day, Angie comes home and comes by my house and she eats a cookie out of the cookie jar, no problem. And there was one cookie left and I was really looking forward to it and I came home and it was gone. Did Angie do it? Well, I'm going to think that she did it. But then I found out Angie actually was in Australia today. She left for Australia, never told me, right? I can't say, well, prove, you know, until you can tell me who stole the cookie, then I'm going to blame Angie. It doesn't work that way. I prove that she didn't steal the cookie, right? So we can prove that the earth is not a globe. There's lots of questions we have about how the flat earth works, how the luminaries in the sky work, and we're figuring that stuff out every day. But we can absolutely, you know, there's flat earthers that have different ideas, that different maps, different theories on the sun. All cool, all good. But we all agree the earth cannot physically be a globe. So check that out. And if you really want to, if you're looking for somewhere to go this winter to get away for a little bit, I'm speaking in Acapulco at the Anarchapulco Truth Conference. Amazing stuff there, from the 2020 stuff to flat earth to just all sorts of amazing truth, amazing conference called Anarchapulco. You can find it on my website. Just check it out. Super fun.
Thank you so much, Dave. Honestly, I really enjoy talking with you. If you'll allow me, I have two questions I ask every single one of my guests before wrapping up, and I call them the finishing thoughts. And the first one is, what life lesson do you wish you'd learned sooner?
What life lesson do I wish I'd learned sooner? I wish I learned that there was a creator sooner.
And the second one is, what's something you no longer put up with?
I no longer put up with stupidity. I have a hard time with people that are... Now, listen, you can be not smart. That's not stupid. You can be ignorant. That's not stupid, right? It's when you're shown something that you're capable of comprehending, but you refuse to because you're holding on to your globe religion or other religion. That's stupid. And I don't have tolerance for that.
Before we wrap up, is there anything... Now, you've told us already where we can find you, all the links and all of that.
Follow me on X, which is Flat Earth Dave X. But everything is linked on my website. All my socials are there. I have multiple YouTube channels. I got Flat Earth Dave Interviews. That's a great one to subscribe to. And I have DITRH, stands for Deep Inside the Rabbit Hole. All of those Flat Earth videos are under 5 minutes. Everything is under 5 minutes. So there's hundreds and hundreds of them. Start there, you know, because it's hard to bite off a big bite of something that you don't believe yet. So check that out. Follow me on X. And I guarantee if you do it, you're going to lose the globe religion. But one piece of advice that nobody will ever take, all right? And that is, as you dive in, you're going to get really excited. You're going to be like, oh my God, this is amazing. Do not run to your family and friends at the Thanksgiving table, the Christmas table, whatever. Do not go, hey, guess what? Earth is flat. It's not going to go well, all right? Yeah. Take it slow. Start off with some, you know, hey, I've been looking into this flat earth thing. And I know it sounds crazy, but this guy's offering 3 Bitcoins. Here, watch this video with me. And then in the crash course and also on the app, there's a video called A Stranger's Guide to Flat Earth, 21 Questions. They help me debunk this, and I'll split the Bitcoins with you, or maybe I'll give you one of the two. You know, you can, whatever you want, whatever to get their interest. And if they listen to that video, they're finished. You just planted a whole bunch of flat earth seeds and they'll never get them out.
One at a time. Yeah. you will conquer them all. Thank you so much, Dave. Such a pleasure speaking with you. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Angie.
And that's our episode. If you enjoyed it, please share it with a friend. It can be a screenshot that you text them, a link, the name of it, any of those will do. if you give a 5-star rating and a review, that really, really helps the algorithm for it to be shared on all the different platforms. And just a little note, please be aware that this podcast is always free to listen to. Any platforms that want to charge you for it are doing so without my consent, okay? This is free. You can listen to it on Apple, Spotify, all of the other regular listening platforms that don't charge you. This is free. So don't let someone charge you to listen to my podcast. Until next time.
Ears in health, inappropriately.